At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It is time for Smart Gardens, and today our expert is Hennepin County Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Laura. It's so wonderful to be on with you.
Well, thank you for your time, and I want to get to know you ladies better, too. So tell me a little bit about you, how long you've been a master gardener, what you've been tending to lately, what's going on in Teresa's backyard.
Well, I have to blame it all on my mom, so it's all my mom's fault, of course. But I became a master gardener in 2000, so I've been here, you know, over a quarter of a century, which kind of is scary. Huh. I am not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I can usually think through a problem and then maybe find the answer somewhere online, because we have lots of great resources at the Extension office. I love all kinds of gardening. I lean toward very lazy gardening and permaculture. And a very integrated system, creating an ecology or a living area in my yard. I have no turf. I live in a small South Minneapolis yard. Well, I don't live in the yard. I get to live in the house. but I have a tiny yard. It looks messy, and you would never think a master gardener lives in that house. But I have a lot of experiments going on. Mm-hmm. How do plants go without water? And because I don't normally water. And what works together, so it's a learning garden for me, and I do deal with a lot of the same critters that a lot of people do deal with. Past, I have a fairly shaded yard, so I can't grow a lot of vegetables, but that's what farmers markets are for.
That's right.
And if I'm not gardening, I'm on YouTube watching gardening shows or playing with my pets or reading books or napping. Napping is one of my favorite hobbies.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Hey, I wanted to bring up, you mentioned that your yard is kind of you called it messy, but I'm sure it's beautiful and you're doing a lot of experimenting, but I'm kind of envisioning more of a native wild looking space.
Kind of a wild space.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of flowers, but I do have some going out there because it's so shady. But I have a lot of fruit trees, which I never see any fruit of because we have squirrels and chipmunks and raccoons and things like that.
Yeah.
It might not be beautiful to a lot of people, but to me it's beautiful because it's a sustainable situation.
Yep.
And it's something I can work with at my age, and I can see that the animals really love it. I got a lot of interesting birds coming in. I'm not a bird watcher, but I would love to be. But I just can't see them. They're too darn fast for me.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy them. And and just wonderful things like that.
Yeah, I just bring that up because there's a great article in the New York Times this week on, it's kind of a Q&A type article where a person was asking, do they need to do something with their wild native gardens before putting their home on the market? Like, will a messy looking yard, even though it's beautiful.
That's a really good question.
Yeah. And the realtor said, yes, you should trim it back and make things look a little tidier and everything. But a lot of people disagreed with that. So you think that that's a good thing?
I think it's a good thing. I think it helps, as with every little kind of messy area, areas that we plant our natives or that we plant food crops that we're willing to share with butterflies and moths and caterpillars and beetles and birds and things like that. As we each create our own, we create corridors so that the insects, the bees, and the pollinators can move from one area to another. Some bees, like honeybees, move 3 miles. Some bees only live within a 10-foot area for their entire life. So you have to have the pollination and the food so that the insects can move around, the birds can move around, and then nobody gets concentrated with all of one thing in their yard. But we help those animals move around. It helps their systems to become stronger because they have bigger areas. They can be more robust species in their area, and they can be healthier. That makes us healthier. And I just love the beauty of all the connectedness that we start to see in our yards.
It's really special when you when you think about it that way.
But if you are selling your house, you know, there are some plants that are not a favorite of a lot of people, like bellflower and things like that, poison ivy. You would want to get rid of those. And you can make it very, very neat looking, but also have it very complex and very connected and very easy to take care of. And a new homeowner would probably like an easy to take care of garden that they don't have to worry so much about. And maybe even leaving a note on the counters when you're selling it with, this is the yard, maybe a little, you know, a little diagram of the yard.
These are the plants. Yep.
These are some of the plants. Mm-hmm. And you could just leave that on the counter if realtors can do that. So people coming in say, oh, it's kind of a messy yard. Oh, there's a reason for this. And they can see this is how this all connects. And if I come here, I would have a game plan. And and then you can,
What a treat. Added value, in my opinion.
Added value, yes.
Yes. All right. If you have a question for our master gardener, Teresa Rooney, give us a call or a text. We already have several texts this morning, Teresa. 651-461-9226. Let's go to the text line. My lilac bushes have woody vines growing through them. What is it and how can I keep it from happening?
Well, I don't know what it is because I can't see it. What you can do is if you can follow those woody vines down to the ground or where they come into your trees, just clip them. The vine will die, and just watch that area in case they resprout. It could be a Virginia creeper. It could be a grapevine. It could be something else. If you can find some leaves of that vine and you can do some investigation to find out what that is, if you still can't figure it out, go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and you can click on the Ask a Master Gardener, and you can send them an email with up to 3 photos saying, this is a vine I found and I don't know what it is. But I'm guessing try to look at some of those, like Virginia creeper or wild grape, and hopefully not poison ivy or something like that. And if you can see the leaves, that will really help them figure out what it is if you haven't already figured it out. And then you can go from there how to remove it.
And Teresa, you bring up a good point with just how handy and helpful the Extension Service website is. And I don't know if people realize just how in-depth that source of information is at your fingertips.
It is really amazing. Yep. There's so many interesting articles that you could look at, and then you can go down some rabbit holes if you want. You know, if you need to get out of doing dishes for the evening, you know, you can say, I'm researching this vine that's in the lilac bush, and then somebody else has to take care of dinner for that night, you know, or washing the dishes or something. I like to think that would help a lot of people out of chores at home. Because the only reason we have rain really is so that gardeners actually do some housework. Otherwise, we're doing our gardening instead. did. Oh. But yeah, the extension website's amazing. And there's so many timely things to look at there.
Yep, and that web address, extension.umn.edu.
Yeah, it is on the yard and garden part.
Yard and garden. Got it. I'm writing it down. It's 8:15 on CCO. You're listening to Smart Gardens. Our master gardener this week is Teresa Rooney. We have a lot of text questions we're going to get to after the break. We'd love to talk to you as well. Give us a call, 651-461-9226. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about slugs eating hostas. We're going to talk a little bit about cucumber beetles attacking my sunflowers. I'm sensing a theme of pests here in the next segment. So join us on CCO. It's 8:16. Good morning. You're listening to Smart Gardens on WCCO Radio. I'm Laura Oakes, and you are joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, who is with the University of Minnesota Extension Service and who is also a Hennepin County Master Gardener. She has all of your answers today. We have a zillion questions on the text line, and our phone lines are lighting up this morning, Teresa. So let's go to that first. Here's Jack. Jack, what's your question?
Good morning, Teresa and the Garden Show. Calling in about best time to transplant and separate some beautiful irises we have this spring and moving into summer. And best time to do that would be when? Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. That's a good question. So your irises will be blooming soon. You want to let them go through that bloom. And then in August is the best time to be transplanting those bearded irises. So you will want to dig them up and then transplant them in and divide them out, remove any damaged corms, and then go ahead and plant them. There are ways to plant them where you won't have to divide them as often. You'd plant them so they go outwards rather than inwards. But August, and then once you transplant them back into the ground again, the back of the corm has to be above the surface, so you want to cut the leaves down in a fan. That's why you want those leaves to get as much nutrition into the corm as possible, and let them finish their blooming cycle. So August would be the best time. Good luck with that.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jack. Let's go back to the phones with Catherine from Blaine. Catherine, what's your question?
Thanks for taking my call, you guys. And Laura, you're doing an awesome job.
And she is pretty doing hard to fill.
Awesome job.
Yes. Thank you. Anyway, my question is, I got a beautiful, it was a pansy for Mother's Day. But in the pansy, there's a flower in there, and I don't know what it is. It was not, you know, it wasn't put on the tag. So I'm thinking it's a rhododendron, but I'm not sure. Is there an app on your phone that you can take a picture of it and identify it?
Yes. You know? So if it's in flower, you may want to try iNaturalist, like the letter I, and then Naturalist. You can try that. That's a pretty good app. You can also send a picture of the flower itself, if it's still blooming, to the master gardeners, and they can figure it out for you. Or if it has more than one flower, you can go to a farmer's market here in Hennepin County, I think in other parts of the state too, and there'll be master gardeners there often, and you can show that flower or show a picture of the flower to them, and they may be able to figure out what it is. I'm thinking it's not a rhododendron because that would grow into a big shrub, but it could be something else. Well, obviously, it's something else, but there's some opportunities. So iNaturalist, or find a master gardener at a farmer's market, or go to the extension website and send a picture to Ask a Master Gardener.
Great. Thanks for the call, Catherine. And Teresa, I'm just blown away by the technology we have these days for identifying plants. And we have some friends with a cabin in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin that we are lucky enough to be invited up to pretty frequently.
Nice.
And when we're there, we always take a nice walk on this great trail through the woods. And my friend Jean is a wonderful gardener. Mm-hmm. And we will spot things along the way where we don't know what they are, and she has an app on her phone where she'll just take a picture of it, and then in an instant we know what this plant is. And it's just amazing to me that we can do that kind of thing.
It's so wonderful. And if you ever get like really kind of iffy information, I always like to like, oh, okay, the app said it was this, but I'm going to go home and research it and make
yes.
sure that the app wasn't tricking me. Because sometimes the information can be bad. It'll tell you,
okay.
yeah, it's a cactus from Venezuela. And you're going, okay, a little Minnesota is probably not that. So, but it may point you in some direction. So I always kind of cross-check everything because I'm a little suspicious sometimes. So I just
yeah.
want to make sure, you know, test it out. And if it's good, then, okay, I can trust this information.
Yeah, and do your own homework, too.
Do your own homework, yep.
Mm-hmm. Good. Let's go back to the phones. Mark in Ham Lake. Hi, Mark. What's your question?
So Mark actually dropped.
Oh, he did. FYI.
So we have Jane in St. Paul, though, on hold.
All righty, Jane. What's your question for Teresa?
Well, I have a rose bush that was growing in my yard when I bought my house 50 years
wow.
ago. And I just let things grow and I don't do much as far as diddling with things, but it's got about three long, I don't know if you'd stalks that are well over 6 feet tall,
yep. mm-hmm.
but they're kind of hanging down. But it's got, probably 12 to 15 blossoms on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, when is a good time? Should I trim it, like shorten those stalks or mm-hmm. stems, or when is a good time to do that?
So first of all, Jean, congratulations on your wonderful, wonderful rose. And those roses are very, very wonderful. So it could be a climbing rose if it tends to get those long canes on it. And then you can decide, okay, I can prune this back to when however I want to prune it back. And you can do that with your roses. But you would want to do it on a nice kind of a day that's not very humid. So try to get a nice dry day if possible. And then make your cuts where you want to cut. You'd want to cut back to where it is in shape for your area. You may want to let it finish blooming on those canes and then cut those canes back if possible. Remove any dead canes that are inside. That's the ones that won't have any flowers on. They look kind of black and they're kind of brittle. Get those out of there and just keep it going as you like to. I mean, you've been doing this so far is so good. So you already know what you're doing, even though you think you don't, but you know what you're doing. You can prune those canes back to whatever length is best in your yard because you don't need them whipping you in the face when you're mowing or hitting you when you walk by or something. But if you want them to get big and long, you can leave them too.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jane. Thank you, Teresa. Let's take a couple of text questions regarding pests. How do we prevent slugs from eating our hostas? Common problem.
Common problem. Okay, so what you may want to do is pull the mulch back just a little bit if you have a wood chip mulch. That wood chip mulch is a great place for the slugs to hide, but it's also a great place for the beetles that eat the slugs to hide. So pull that mulch back so it's just a little drier around where the hostas are. You can put down something that is I want to say it's potassium salt, but I could be wrong about that. But it'll say something like, these are just some of the names in the market, escargot or sluggo. You can put that down. You do have to reapply it. It just is something that will kill the slugs. You do have to reapply it after a heavy dew or a rain or really damp soil if you've watered. You can also pay attention which hostas are the slugs going to. They'll be going to the thinner leafed hosta, the more fragile hostas. They're not going to hit your big waxy blue hostas and your hostas that have thick leaves and a lot of texture. They don't go for those as much. They're a little harder for them to eat. So you may want to change out the hostas or move that hosta that seems to be in that area where all the slugs are, move that to a little drier location so that the slugs aren't as happy with it. And if you can hit that population early and knock it down, slugs can lay like thousands of eggs, so you want to get that population down as quickly as you can. You can lay out newspaper, a few layers of newspaper or a board at night, and then pick that up in the morning. The slugs will hide under that because it's damp and cool and they're being protected, and then you can just scrape off the slugs into a bag or onto your driveway for the birds or whoever wants to eat them, or just toss them into the trash. So that way, you know, see the slugs, get that population down as quickly as you can, and try to replace those fragile hostas with hostas that have more texture and are more robust and can handle it. And also don't overwater. You don't have to make it as hospitable as possible. Hostas are pretty strong, so you don't have to be watering them very much unless we get very droughty and they start wilting.
Good advice.
Good luck.
Yep, couple of things. First of all, yuck. Slugs lay thousands of eggs.
They're just kind of gross, yeah.
Yes, but I love the names of some of these products to control them. You mentioned escargot. As go as in, like, get out of here, right?
Get out of here, and also French escargot.
Oh, yes.
Let's eat some snails.
Oh, I love it. Oh, happy breakfast, everybody.
Yes, sorry about that, everybody. Yeah. I should have warned you first.
Here's another good one about pests, Teresa. I've had cucumber beetles attack my sunflowers. I'm worried they will head over to the cucumbers soon. Neem oil doesn't seem to do much to keep them away. What's the best solution?
I would go out there earlier in the morning when they're a little cooler, when it's cooler out, and knock them into a bucket of soapy water, just like you would do for many of our insects, our beetle insects. Get that pest population down. Make sure that you have put a good layer of straw or something around your cucumbers, around the base, so that if the beetles do fly over there and they head down the stem to lay eggs, that it's harder for them to get to the ground to lay the eggs for the next generation. They only have the one generation a year, so you just don't want those. And then, do that. And if you can, you know, put in a bird bath, because birds eat a lot of insects. I don't know that they eat the beetles, but at least there'll be more activity there. And try to get them, get that population down, because you don't want them flying over to your. If you have to, you can use an insecticide, but that's like a last resort, you know, because once you start interfering with insecticides, then you kind of have to take over the role of Mother Nature and patrol a lot stronger. So if you can just figure out how to just handle them manually, soapy water is a wonderful thing to
All
let
right.
them die in.
Good. Thank you, Teresa. It's 8:30 on CCO. You're listening to Smart Gardens. We're taking your calls and questions for our master gardener, Teresa Rooney. 651-461-9226 is the number to call. Some great questions coming in. We're going to talk about tomato plants. We're going to talk about purple columbine, using eggshells in your house plants. All kinds of great questions coming up. We'll talk to you soon. It's 8:30 on CCL. Welcome back to Smart Gardens. Our expert this morning is Teresa Rooney. She is a master gardener in Hennepin County and also part of the University of Minnesota Extension Service. I want to throw out that website one more time because it is such a helpful resource for people and for those of you who may not get your questions answered today. This website might just be able to help you out. It's extension.umn.edu. And now, Teresa, one more thing too. We've had, when we were talking before about nice apps to use to try to identify plants, mm-hmm. we've had a few texters talk about how happy they are with an app called Lens, L-E-N-S.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I don't use a lot of apps, but you know, find the apps that work for you
yep.
and try out various ones, because some have money that are attached or fees and some don't, and whatever works with your vibe is perfect. That's a great idea.
Yeah, and apparently this Lens app, according to one texter, is free. So give that one
Wonderful.
A try.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. great. Okay, two of my tomato plants had their tops broken off from hail recently. Should they be replaced, or will they still produce tomatoes this summer?
They'll still produce tomatoes. They'll start up a new stalk going up, and that one will continue to grow up. So they'll be fine. I wouldn't replace them. I would just, if you want to add one, that's okay. That's never a bad problem. But, they'll be just fine.
Okay, good. I have purple columbine in three locations. They came up and flowered well. Then suddenly all the leaves were gone. The flower stems are okay. What may have defoliated these, and will they come up again next year?
They may come up again next year. It depends if they were able to flower and set seed and get those seeds in the ground. It was probably some insect. They can come and go, and if you can't catch them, it's really hard to figure out what they are. You could always go to the Extension website or Google Columbine pests, and then you can see in the spring we have a lot of caterpillars and sawfly larvae and things like that that eat a lot of green stuff. It's good for our birds because it's baby bird food, but they can defoliate some of those plants. So I can't tell you what ate them because we don't have pictures. We don't know what they did. We don't know if there were holes, if everything was just eaten, if the bunnies nibbled everything off. I can't tell that. But you can Google pests for Columbine. You can also go to the Extension website and see if there's anything like that. But hopefully they will come back next year.
Such a conundrum with those bunnies. They're so cute. They're so
cute. And, they're so destructive.
Yes. There's just, you cannot win with the bunnies, especially in the spring.
Right.
I know.
Right. You know, you have to fence stuff. You have to, yep. You have to have barriers down. And then you have to have a good ecosystem where maybe we have hawks and you have owls and
right.
You have foxes. We have to get that balance in. If things are unbalanced, then you have problems. But for the most part, if we can grow a lot of plants and you don't see some of the damage, grow plants they don't like, fence things, have an ecosystem where everything can balance out, and then you aren't out there directing the show like a circus director all the time.
Exactly.
You let Mother Nature do all that stuff, and she puts on a great show.
Of course. Let's go back to the phones. Here's Ed in Worthington. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. So I have a maple tree that cracked 20 years ago. I put a rod through it, but I lost a branch in it. And then I foamed it, and that didn't work. And so now I got a lot of rotted material in there, and I had carpenter ants in there.
Yep.
Oop, Ed, are you still with us?
Oh, I think
looks like
he
we lost
left
him.
Us. What I would say to Ed is, if you can get a certified arborist out to look at the tree with extra rot in a tree, and the carpenter ants are not the problem, they're a symptom. They're showing you there is a problem in there. There's damp wood, and that's why the carpenter ants are in there. So you want to make sure that it's a safe tree, and no tree is ever really safe, but you want to have a certified arborist come out and look at it and say, will this tree, how healthy is this tree? How physically stable is this tree? And will this tree, when and if it falls on something from storms, will this tree fall on a person, a car, a house, or will it just fall in the woods and it's not a big deal? So you want to make sure what the danger level is there. That's what I would suggest, Ed. Have a certified arborist, not you know, Joe Blow's tree service. Make sure that they are a certified arborist. The Extension website can give you some ideas how to get to that, how to find a certified arborist. Talk to people in your neighborhood that have trees that have arborists come out. And if you are suspicious of the arborist, get a second opinion. Many cities also have city foresters who are responsible for all the trees in their city. You can call them and see if they have time to come out and give you a free inspection as part of your taxes. If you have a city forester, they will not do any of the work, but then you can go from there and see what's going on. I'm sorry about your tree, Ed.
Yeah, would that free inspection just apply to a boulevard tree, or will
no,
they look in your yard?
The whole city is the forest that they are looking at. So they will look at trees in your yard. Now, some cities don't have them. I thought all cities did, but not all locations will have them. And some will be stressed just dealing with emerald ash borer or something like that, and they just can't do that. So they're just looking at they're just barely getting by with the staffing levels they have. But you can always check with your city or your town's office and see if they have something like that, or find a certified arborist and then go from there.
We do have Ed back, by the way, if you want to get to him.
Okay, Ed, did you get your question answered, or do you want to follow up?
No, Blue Pick dropped me, this lousy company. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah,
just wanted to advertise for him a little bit, you know. WCCO, that boutique, no, that's not good.
So did you hear the answer that will help
no,
you?
No, I didn't. No, it okay. dropped me.
Okay, so what I was saying.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Thing is, have a certified arborist come out and look at the tree to make sure it's a safe tree or how safe it is. There is no such thing as a safe tree. And some cities have city foresters that will look at it for free for you. So check with your city or town office to see if they have a city forester, if that's available to you. And then just go from there, because if it's not stable, if it's not physically safe, you may want to have it taken down, chipped, and use the wood chips on your own property if you want to. I think that was everything. But you want it to be safe, and you want to use a certified arborist, not just any person that walks by from the street, because you want them to be certified and know what the dickens they're talking about.
Yeah, great. Thank you for the call, Ed. And hopefully that answered your question. And Teresa,
and if you didn't hear, Ed, the ants are not the problem. They're showing you that there is a problem there. So they will eventually maybe cause some physical damage to the tree, but they're really showing you there's already physical damage here that you need to pay attention to.
Thanks, Teresa. Thanks for the recap, too. Appreciate it. Josh?
Yes, we have Mike in Star Prairie calling in.
Hi, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, I have a really quick question. We live on a small lake out here, and neither my wife or I want it. We want to fertilize, get rid of thistle and dandelions because they're going crazy, but we don't want the runoff to go into the water. Is there something that's compatible with that?
There are pesticides and herbicides that you can use by lakeshores. They're pretty expensive. What I would say is, if you possibly can, the dandelions, those are fairly easy to remove, to pull up. The thistles, if you just cut them at their base, and then take that foliage away, and then keep cutting them as they come up, then you don't have to use any chemicals at all. It does take time to remove them that way. And then understand that those dandelions and those thistles have put a lot of seeds into the soil over year after year after year. So you have what's called a seed bank in your soil. And the minute you start moving that soil around, you finally got the dandelions and the thistles gone. And then if you go out there and rototill it or start digging up in it, you're going to move all those seeds back up to the surface and you will see a flush of new growth again. So what I'm suggesting is minimal soil disturbance once you get those dandelions and thistle out of there. But do figure out what you're going to plant after that to take up that space. If it either it's going to be grass or it's going to be a native prairie or you're going to put ornamental grasses in, figure out something that you're going to do after that. Because if you just leave it bare, something else will come in.
Yeah, right. Thank you for the call, Mike. Appreciate
it. Good luck, Mike.
Yes, it's 8:44 on CCO. It's time to take a break. If you have a question for our master gardener, Teresa Rooney, we have about 15 minutes left in this show. The number to text or to call, even better to call, 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more from Teresa after this. You're listening to Smart Gardens, and our expert this week is Hennepin County Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, also with the University of Minnesota Extension Service. And Teresa, you and your Hennepin County garden folks have a fun learning garden tour coming up in July. Tell us about that.
Thank you, Laura. Yes, we do. So on July 11th, we have a self-guided learning garden tour. It will be in South Minneapolis. It's put on by the Hennepin County Master Gardeners. These are Master Gardener yards. We will have education stations in each Master Gardener yard. There'll be a book nook. There'll be a garden shed. There'll be all kinds of master gardeners wandering around just waiting to answer any of your questions. There'll be plant lists. And these are all different kinds of gardens because we want you to learn about different kinds of gardens, different kinds of pests. I believe we might even have some jumping worm gardens on there so you can learn about how you still garden with jumping worms and food gardens and flower gardens and pest gardens. And you can learn about a lot of different gardeners. You can go to the Extension website, go way down to the bottom of the page and look at classes. You can find us there. It's otherwise just Google HennepinMasterGardeners.org. You can buy tickets in advance for $10. Children under 12 are free, or you can buy them at the door for $15. And this helps us continue our reach out programs into our communities.
Wonderful. And did you say the tour is in South Minneapolis?
South Hennepin County.
South Hennepin
so
County.
So it's going to, we try to group our tours. We move them around the county. I think we have a 4-year rotation. So we move them around. So it's easier for you to spend your day just driving shorter distances in most parts. It's self-guided, though. There's 10 gardens. And we would love to see you. And then you can talk to Master Gardeners face to face.
Yes. Great resource. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Yes. It is 8:50 now on CCO. Let's get back to the phones. We have Barb on the line from Maplewood. Good morning, Barb. What's your question?
Good morning, girls. I have unsolicited trees growing along the foundation of my house.
Yeah, isn't
and
that fun?
Some of them are very attractive leaves, and they'd be lovely someplace else, but they're just crazy this year. It just, they're large leaves or little tiny lacy leaves. Mm-hmm. They're all different. How do I, mm-hmm. what do I do, and why are they growing
well,
there?
The seeds came in, and they found a place. They found a bit of bare ground, and it was a perfect place for them to grow. The seeds could blow in. You know, we've had hurricane force winds. The birds can bring them in. Critters can bring them in. They could be from the neighborhood somewhere. So you can decide if this is a tree I think I like, and this is going to be a good spot for it. Let me find out what tree it is. How big is it going to get? Otherwise, if you never mowed your yard, your whole yard would be a forest. But because you mow your grass, you're cutting off all those little tree seedlings, and you don't even notice it. So you can also just cut all these down. You do not have to let them grow, no matter how cute they are. If they're not in the right place for you and you don't want to dig them up and transplant them, just cut them back, just right to the ground. If it's their first year growing, usually they don't have enough enough energy to resprout. If they do resprout, just cut them off again at the ground and then figure out what can I do to make this less hospitable for volunteer seedlings. And do I thicken up the grass? Do I plant flowers? Do I put mulch and watch the mulch? Good luck with all of that, Barb. It sounds exciting. What an adventure. But you may find a tree you really love, and then you can dig it up and move it to this proper spot.
There we go. Thank you very much for the call, Barb. All right, back to the text line, Teresa. What is the best soil to use in an above-ground planter? Does that matter?
It does. If you have what you're using as a raised bed where it's connected to the ground still, you just put up edges or something, you'd want to use... they do sell raised bed soil, and you can look into what that is, and you can make your own. You don't want to use ground soil in those raised beds. If you are doing a planter where it's like a pot that's not connected to the ground, or it's a salad table that's way up and not connected to the ground, you would want to use potting soil or a potting mix, and your choice is either one for that. And then just go ahead and plant up and enjoy. Make sure the container, if it's a container, has drainage holes. That's really important.
Yes, for sure. All right, an arborvitae question for you. And this is my own question, Teresa. Yes.
Answer carefully.
Well, we want the truth, and this is important. So we're going to be planting a taller variety of mm-hmm. arborvitaes, maybe five of them as a border along mm-hmm. our backyard that we just did some work in.
Oh, wonderful.
But we're going on vacation soon, and I don't mm-hmm. think we want to plant them before we go because it takes a lot of watering at the beginning, right?
It does.
Yeah.
You could set up a drip irrigation system.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do that.
Probably not. Okay, I love the honesty. Otherwise, then...
Should we wait?
When you come back, it is like brutally hot like we had the other few days,
yeah.
I would probably not do that. That's so stressful for you, so stressful for the plant. Then I would wait till the end of August mm-hmm. and give them a good 10 weeks to settle into their new location before the ground freezes. So figure out when the ground's going to freeze, because we can all figure that out. I'm laughing sarcastically. And you just back it up, because they need 10 weeks. I would also suggest that you make sure you know how big they're going to get,
yep.
how tall. Look up, make sure there's no wires. If there's any overheads, then readjust. And you may want to say, maybe I put in 3 arborvitaes, and then I put in 2 other plants.
Mix it up, huh?
The reason I say that is it's like a tapestry hedge, but say you have these 25-foot arborvitaes down the road, and one of them gets knocked over by a storm. Now, to replace that, you would not want to put in a 2-foot arborvitae.
Mm.
Most people say, I need a 25-foot, so then they're talking spaded trees, and then that's really expensive. But if you already have a variety going on, you now have an opportunity to do something else. Put another variety in and just make it a little more different. Plus, then you have more activity. You'll bring in more different kinds of birds. You'll see different things, especially if you alternate with a deciduous tree, even if it's just one. I don't know if 2 arborvitaes and 1 deciduous tree would be a good look. It's kind of a little too balanced for me because I'm kind of unbalanced. But
you like the wild.
I like the wild
yeah.
look. I like the, you know, this, but I do like the combination of the leaves against the green of the arborvitae, and then
yeah.
the winter stems against the green of the arborvitae, and that lets some air flow through. And but the arborvitaes is a wall that there's only 5 of them. That could work too. I'm not trying to tell you not to do it.
Yep.
Just think about alternatives and then go with what makes you the happiest.
Yep.
And when you're planting to any tree, plant the smallest tree that will make you happy.
Mm.
You do not need instant gratification, no matter what 30 seconds of TikTok says. It's okay. It's okay to let things grow and save some money and, you
yes.
know, buy another plant with the money you save. But also smaller plants adjust more quickly to
okay.
their location than bigger plants. Like younger people adjust to moving more easily than older people may adjust to moving.
Gotcha.
It's just we've got deeper roots and it's a lot to rebuild.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Younger is faster to build those new roots.
I love the metaphor. One more question from the text line before we have to wrap up. I have two Wichita blue junipers that are 15 years old. They're getting some brown branches. What does that mean?
It's just a little dieback from probably from some maybe lack of watering. We have dry falls, so make sure you water your evergreens. They are beautiful plants. They're nice and tall, and they can really make like an exclamation point in your garden. Birds love them and everything else. You may also be seeing some squirrel damage of the squirrels running up and down and nibbling off and carrying stuff back to their nest to put their nest together with all different kinds of stuff, or just their teeth are always growing, so they're always gnawing, and it's frustrating. If it's not all over the plant, I wouldn't worry about it. If you can reach those brown things and cut them off, the brown branches, that will make it a lot better for you. There will be some dieback just because we've had some fierce winds. The wind breaks the branches enough to just cause them to not fall off, but they just become a little disconnected from the water and nutrition flow from the roots, and then they brown up and die. So unless you're seeing it spreading a lot, or it's just happening continuously and just getting worse and worse and worse, it's probably not a problem.
All right. Thank you very much. Another great show, Teresa. We appreciate your expertise and your time
You're
this morning.
Doing a great job, Laura.
Well,
good
thank you very much. I'm enjoying it. Thank you to all of our callers and texters.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.